people make pilgrimages to meet Chris McMillan. Now, in a city where cocktail is art, Chris is legend, the bartender of bartenders. He gave us a private lesson in New Orleans' most demanding cocktail, the Sazerac. And he picked the perfect setting. It's a place he co-founded, the Museum of the American Cocktail. Chris is a big, burly guy with the biggest grin. His wife, Laura, who, by the way, is a mean mixologist as well, is petite and blonde. And together, they set up our bar on an old whiskey barrel. Very appropriate. Chris, you've been called a 19th century bartender.
That's an interesting comment on me. You know, it's like any endeavor. When you want to be good at something, you copy the people who are good at it. And so I've spent the better part of 20 years of my career studying what happened in the past so that I could be good at what I do today. And so American bartending having its roots in the 19th century, I'll take that as a compliment.
So what was happening in the 19th century? I mean, you always think of cocktails as being the 1920s, that's when it really began.
It really begins in the 18th century. Americans were spirits drinkers as opposed to beer and wine drinkers because beer and wine didn't travel well from Europe, and we didn't have the raw materials from which to make them. The first time we have the term cocktail defined is in 1806 in a Hudson, New York newspaper, and it defines cocktails as any spirit, sugar, water, and bitters, bitters being the defining ingredient. Without bitters, it would be a category of drink known as a sling, and when you add bitters to it, it becomes a bittered sling or cocktail. Bitters themselves were from a date from really the 18th century in a time that we didn't have medicine as we know it today. The water supply was unsafe to drink. It's not till the 20th century that we have potable filtered water.
Right.
And so we drank alcohol as a substitute for water. And you, upon arising and having your first drink of the day, people would take their bitters as a prophylactic against illness, much the same way we consume vitamins today to protect ourselves from getting sick.
So the drinks that you are making today have their origins back at that time?
This is the cocktail. It's sugar, bitters, and spirit. It conforms to that very basic definition. The prototype would be the whiskey cocktail. Today, we call that the old-fashioned. If you take the fruit out of it, that's what an old-fashioned is sugar, bitters, and spirit. And, it's believed that sometime in the 1880s, as cocktails became more and more sophisticated and complicated, that somebody said, would you just fix me a cocktail the old-fashioned way? Meaning without all of the extra fruit and things added to them. And that's where the term cocktail
the idea comes from.
But
now,
right.
All this time, you've had you call it a muddler, but it almost looks like a pestle. And you have these three glasses, and there's a liquid in here that
sugar.
Is this beautiful orange color.
This is clear. Sugar and Peychaud's bitters. Antoine Peychaud was a pharmacist. One of the seminal moments in New Orleans history was the Haitian slave revolt. It was the only successful slave revolt in the history of humanity, and over 80,000 European troops perished in trying to recapture Haiti. I mean, this is Napoleon's army, the finest army in all of the world, because the slaves there fought with total abandon. They had nothing to lose. Well,
right.
The French, who were the governing body there, when they fled, first went to Havana, and then from there to here to New Orleans. And Peychaud came here to New Orleans, set up a pharmacy on Royal Street, the building which still exists today, and in them created these bitters. His father was a physician, and this was reputed to have been a secret proprietary family recipe. We don't know if that's in fact true, but we do know that certainly by the 1850s, Peychaud's bitters are being advertised as being used in the Sazerac Coffee House, where this drink derives its name. The word Sazerac itself was the name of a very famous brand of cognac produced in the 18th and 19th century, and the coffee house was named after the cognac itself. And as the city made a transition in the 1860s and 1870s to a dominantly American culture, the drink made a transition from being cognac-based to being rye whiskey.
And you've got Wild Turkey.
Because Americans were whiskey drinkers.
So now, this is what I'm wondering about. You've got six glasses here to make three cocktails. And three of those glasses are filled with ice water.
Well, the traditional method for making this drink is to make one drink is to take two old-fashioned glasses, fill with one in ice and water, and allow it to chill.
So these are chilling.
They're chilling, that's correct.
And now you're spooning ice into the glass with the wild turkey and the pecho bitters.
So we've added our sugar. We saturate it with pecho bitters.
Oh, that's right. You soaked a sugar cube with the pecho bitters.
Added a small amount of water to aid in dissolving the sugar cube.
Right.
And to make a solution, we're now have added the rye whiskey, and we're stirring the drink to chill the drink and to add dilution in water to it. All mixed drinks have a water component to them, and you have to get the right amount of dilution to properly kill the alcohol bite. Now, you don't want it to be watery, but you don't want it to burn either. That's not a pleasant...
This is a very sensitive process.
Well, it's a process that's very prescribed by time. I think I read that one of the bartenders at the Sazerac said that there were like 16 steps to making this drink.
The ice water was just to chill the glasses, and you've poured out the ice water from those three glasses. And what have you just, you've added a few drops of
absinthe. And we use absinthe almost as a seasoning or flavor. So all I'm doing is coating the interior of the glass and discarding the excess. Smell that lovely...
Oh, yes, anise.
Perfume. And then we're going to strain it, the whiskey and bitters with sugar, into the absinthe rinsed glass.
Ah.
And then the final step is to take a nice piece of citrus peel.
And you've just taken this off of the peel of the lemon, and you're twisting it over the glass.
You can actually look at the top of it. See the, can you see the oil floating?
Oh, yes.
Floating
on
the top?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it's just designed, that's the purpose of the twist.
You can smell it.
It's just to give you that lovely citrus perfume. You've got the layers of the whiskey, the sugar, all the flavorings and the bitters, the absinthe, the citrus oil itself. This is a very complex drink with a lot going on to it. Santé, as we say here in New Orleans. Cheers.
Yeah, santé. Oh, this is the subtlest, most complex Sazerac I can remember tasting. Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you so much for coming. It was a pleasure having you.
Chris McMillan, the bartender and born storyteller, has retired, but to see him in action, check out the website, splendidtable.org.